I think that social distancing is one of the worst phrases ever created. And the reason is, I think the proper term for what the government is asked us to do is physical distancing. You know, staying away from people physically. And the reason is because we were not created to be socially distant. In fact, you can't live without social interaction, without human interaction and touch. Some psychologists have said that social distancing can be as damaging as a virus. One researcher said that our IQ can drop as much as 25% if we're alone for an extended period of time. Look at this. Research has linked social isolation and loneliness to higher risks for a variety of physical and mental conditions, like high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, a weakened immune system, anxiety, depression, cognitive decline, and Alzheimer's disease. Can I tell you that one of the reasons, I think there are a lot of factors, but one of the reasons that people are experiencing so much anxiety right now, and a lot of people are battling depression, and I'm not saying this is the reason for everything, but one of the reasons is social distancing. Because we're not supposed to do that. And Insider.com says loneliness and actual physical social isolation can lead to a 30% increased risk of premature death. There's a reason why solitary confinement is one of the worst punishments that you can inflict on a prisoner. Many professional psychologists have moved to ban solitary confinement as a punishment because it has such a devastating psychological effect on people. In one study, it was found that if a human baby is not physically touched within a certain period of time, the baby will die. I'm trying to tell you something, that we are made by a God of community for community. You see, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when we were created, when men were created, when men and women were created, the scripture said, God says, let us, everybody say us, let us make man in our image. Who is us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is one expressed in three persons. God is a God of community. And look at this. The Bible says we are made in His image. So if God is a God of community, you and I were created by God for community. As a matter of fact, we can't live without it. And this is where in 2020, we've got to recognize that some of us have created the habit of being alone. We have this habit of distancing ourselves from other people. We've distanced ourselves from church. We've distanced ourselves from friends. And that's a habit we have to break. We have to detox from isolation, because it's not going to be good for us if we continue to be socially isolated from other people. And there's a great story in the Bible that I think illustrates this very powerfully. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is a story about the prophet Elijah. Now, let me set up the story before we read the scripture here. So Elijah is a prophet in Israel in a time where all of the leaders of the country were evil. There was a lot of backsliding going on. People are abandoning the faith. The economy was bad. And the leaders of the country were making it difficult for people to serve God. So Elijah is a prophet during this time, and so Israel is led by an evil king and queen called Ahab and Jezebel. So Elijah asked for this contest with false prophets that had been raised up by Ahab and Jezebel, and so I'm going to sum up the story. This is one of the most spectacular stories in the Bible, if you ask me. 1 Kings chapter 18, there's a contest. Elijah said, whoever's God answers by fire, let him be God. It's a fascinating story. End of the day, Elijah wins the contest, okay? Elijah calls down fire from heaven. And how many know when evil is rampant in the world, we need some fire from heaven to come down? That's why we're fasting and praying, because we see all of the difficulties. We see all of the challenges. We need some people to be calling down fire from heaven, the Spirit of God, the power of God that was totally free. Elijah wins this battle. All of the prophets of Baal are killed. And here we pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. So when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel what Elijah had done and that he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. He said, "May the gods," that's where you see where her heart is, far from God. She's serving other gods. "May the gods also kill me if by this time tomorrow I have failed to take your life like those whom you killed." And the Bible says Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. And then he went on, what's this word say? Alone into the desert, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. He says, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors." So the Bible takes great care to paint this picture. Elijah has this incredible victory, but then he distances himself from everyone else and he's alone. The effect of this isolation is very significant in his life. And I think it's gonna show us why we have to detox from isolation. One of the reasons is because when we are alone for long periods of time, we lose perspective. The Lord said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He's saying, "Why are you alone?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets." So I'm gonna hear what Elijah is saying. He's saying, "God, I'm all by myself. I'm the only one left." That's how he felt. To Elijah, this was true. But God corrects him and says, I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too. But 7,000, the Spirit says 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him. Elijah felt like he was all alone, and God says, "No, there are thousands of other people who are still following the Lord." If a prophet can lose perspective when he's isolated, then so can you and I. And I think the challenge that a lot of us are facing right now is when we are distanced from God's people, when we are distanced from other people, we tend to lose perspective. I read some fascinating research where 6 volunteers, and remember they were volunteers, They were part of an experiment where they were isolated in a soundproof cubicle for 48 hours. Not only did they grow restless and start talking to themselves, but all of them began to hallucinate and see things that weren't there. One of them saw a zebra, another saw a snake, one saw tiny cars in the room taking off like a plane, another one saw fighter planes buzzing around in the room. They all lost perspective. See, what happens is when we allow ourselves to be isolated, we lose perspective. And if we allow ourselves to be isolated for too long, we're going to lose perspective as well. We will think things are worse than they are. And we kind of lose touch with reality. And we'll think things are true that aren't true. I want you to hear me today as your pastor, because I'm trying to warn you and I'm trying to encourage you. If you are feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling anxious, the enemy loves to make us feel like things are worse than they are, right? And so we have to detox from that and not allow that to happen, because we'll lose perspective. Another thing that happens is we give in to fear. The Bible says Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. I think this is interesting, because the chapter before, Elijah shows great courage. It's 1 versus 800 in the prophet contest. That's pretty cool. And he says, you know, and basically the stakes are whoever loses is going to die. That's some big time courage. And yet the very next chapter, we see that Elijah is afraid. Why? I think it's because he was alone and he was isolated. See, when we are isolated, we give in to fear. Again, the science backs me up. This is the best website name I've ever seen, scarymommy.com. I thought that was awesome. Not really, but anyway. The research says that humans are social creatures, and when we're taken away from each other, we feel threatened and we feel a sense of danger. This need for connection is literally built into our biology, which I pointed out earlier. Let us make man in our image. It's in our DNA. And compared to similar-sized primates or mammals, humans have a larger neocortex, the part of the brain involved in social cognition abilities like thought, language, and behavioral and emotional regulation. Empathy and the ability to read others' intentions and their feelings live here too. We are said to have social brains. So we are wired by God to be in community. And part of the result of that is we are less afraid. But when we are alone, we tend to be more afraid. Have you ever heard the term safety in numbers? I mentioned a couple weeks ago how I grew up in the country. And let me remind you that it's darker in the country than it is in the city. All right? So, true story. Literally, when we had to go to the bus stop, we had to walk about between a quarter and a half mile. And literally, it was uphill both ways. I love telling this story, okay? So we live off in the woods. The bus stop was here. It's about between a quarter and a half mile to get to the bus stop. We made this walk every day, going to the bus. And in the afternoon, when the bus dropped us off, we had to walk back home. Well, how many know about November, December, it starts to get dark in the morning. And so you have to walk about a quarter mile, between a half mile there, to the bus stop. Well, I did that. And so one particular day, oh, by the way, it's in the woods. And the road, which was a gravel road, completely covered with trees. It's so covered with trees that in the daylight, no sun could get through. Are you getting the picture? So one particular morning in the winter, for whatever reason, I have three brothers, and they didn't go to school that day. I don't remember the reason. All I know is I had to walk to the bus by myself in the dark. And I started walking, but I didn't walk the entire way. I ran. Because how many know those trees were talking to me? All of a sudden, there was this fear, like, I had taken the same path to the bus stop hundreds of times. But when I was alone, I was afraid. Can I tell you that I think one of the reasons there's such a stress in our lives and anxiety in our lives is because of the lack of community. We're not connected to godly fellowship, to godly people. Amen, everybody? And if we're not doing that, we're gonna get afraid. It happened to Elijah. It can happen to us. And we see it in the life of Elijah. When we are isolated, we tend to get discouraged. He said, he prayed that he might die. He said, God, I've had enough. I've had enough. When you're alone, you get discouraged very easily. Even prophets get discouraged when they're isolated. Now, just a few moments when we pray, I'm going to pray for everybody who is watching online, everybody in this room who feels discouraged. Because I think it's a lot of us. That we just feel down. And we have to wear masks, and we have to do this, and is that just me? And if we're not careful, we can get discouraged. You know, the science shows that the more isolated I am, the more likely I am to be discouraged. I'm trying to tell you that we need other people in our lives to stay encouraged. If we're going to survive, if we're going to have victory in 2020, it's not going to be by ourselves. I'm talking to somebody watching online today that is by yourself. If you're going to have victory in your life, you can't do it by yourself. You need God's people. You need the church of Jesus Christ. We need one another. Somebody give God praise if you believe that that's true. Amen. There's a story, true story, 2002. You might remember there were 9 miners that in Pennsylvania that were trapped underground, 240 feet underground, in this mine shaft that was filled with water. And somehow they all survived. It's called the Miracle at Q Creek. And the reason they survived is because they decided early on that they were going to live or die as a group. Let me read it to you. The water was 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and it threatened to kill them slowly by hypothermia. So according to one of the miners, when one of us would get cold, the other 8 would huddle around the person and warm that person up. And when another person got cold, the favor was returned. Everybody had strong moments, one of the miners told the reporters after being released. He says, but at any certain time, maybe one guy got down and then the rest pulled together. And then that guy would get back up and maybe someone would feel weaker, but it was a team effort. That's the only way we could have survived. I think that's a powerful picture of right now. I think that's a powerful picture of why we need the church of Jesus Christ and why we need the body of believers, because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, if one of us suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Amen, everybody? We are in this literally together as a body of believers. But when you're separated from God's family, when you're separated from God's people, you're going to lose perspective. You're probably going to get discouraged. You're probably going to be overcome by fear. And lastly, you might give up. Elijah was ready to give up. He said, I've had enough. God, let me die. I think the real danger of learning the habit of being isolated is that we can become so discouraged that we can give up. And some of you say, well, Pastor, it would never happen to me. If it can happen to a prophet who was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, a prophet who was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Jesus and the disciples, that Elijah, if it can happen to that Elijah, it can happen to you and me. I want you to lean in and get this. I think some people are in danger of giving up on God, giving up on your relationship with God. A few days ago, I read a study from the Barna Group that says up to 1/3 of people who attended church last year are not attending now and have not connected online to any church at all. 1/3 of people who attended church in 2019 have not attended church one time, including connecting online at all. What's happening? People are separated from the body of Christ, and they are falling away, and they're giving up. Let me read one quote from the article. It says, a profile of these groups of online churchgoers reveals a strong generational pattern. The younger people are, the more likely it is that they stopped attending church during lockdown. This is notable because most would expect younger people to be more comfortable than older people in digital spaces. So of the 1/3 that is no longer attending church, it's mostly young. By the way, the age group that is most likely to feel isolated and lonely is also the one that is most connected digitally, older teens and young adults. I think there's a battle going on for this generation right now. The New York Times put it this way, although most studies of the effects of loneliness have looked only at older people, this doctor with colleagues has analyzed 70 studies encompassing 3.4 million people, said that the prevalence of loneliness peaks in adolescents and young adults. So I think what we have to be careful, first of all, is that people are going to give up on God. And I was reading just this morning in the book of Mark how Jesus is arrested, and the Bible says that Peter followed at a distance. I thought of all days to read that verse. Next thing you know, Peter is swearing, doing things he swore he'd never do, and he denies Jesus. Please hear me. If it can happen to Elijah, and if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to us. Don't give up on God. Don't you give up on God. I'm looking at everybody, and I'm looking at you online. Don't you give up on God. You may feel bad. You may feel down. You may be discouraged. Guess what? It happened to Elijah too, but you don't have to quit. Somebody give somebody some encouragement that they don't have to quit. I think the other very serious consequence is people won't just give up on God. Some of them will give up on life. I was in a golf outing earlier this week, and one of my playing partners was a person at Franciscan Health. And we were talking about all things COVID, and I asked him, I said, tell us your experience. He said one of the most amazing things to him was the number of suicides. Just this incredible increase of people just giving up. So let me pause for a second and just encourage anybody who is considering ending your life. And I'm going to ask everybody in the room, everybody online, here is the National Suicide Hotline number, 1-800-273-8255. If this is not in your phone, please put it in your phone today. You might have a conversation in the near future, somebody who says, you know, I'm just thinking about ending it all. Let me just say to anybody watching this that don't you give up, don't you quit, because there is hope because of the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to steal your soul, and you're not going to let him do that. If you're having trouble, call this number right now, okay? And because we're in this together. Amen, everybody? You see, God's answer to isolation is community. And so if we're going to detox from isolation, we have to be very intentional. I'm not going to allow myself to be in a cave like Elijah. I'm not going to allow myself to be isolated from God and from God's people. We have to be intentional about it. I think especially now, this year, we have to be very intentional about being in a spiritual community. Just like the book of Acts, chapter 2, here's what the Bible says that they did. They worshiped together. Everybody say together. How often did they do it? Regularly at the temple. So they went to the house of God, and they met in small groups and homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy. So God gives us a picture right out of the gate in the first church. The way that they built spiritual community, the way that they rejected spiritual isolation, is they went to church and they were in a small group. This is not a program. This is not an idea. This is very biblical. This is why I continue to challenge everybody in our church. We really want you to do just a few things. We want you to attend Sunday morning services consistently, and we want you to join a group. Now, in 2020, attending Sunday morning services consistently has been very different. For a lot of us, for a while, attending church meant attending online. Praise God for technology that allows that to happen. Would you say thank you to every camera person and all of our media team and these guys back here behind this wall? Come on, give them a big God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Making that happen. And there are some of you that are still attending online, and that is great. That's fantastic. Some of you, because of certain conditions that you're facing and certain issues that your employer has put on you and certain physical challenges that you have, you can't come back to the building right now, and we completely understand, and we're praying for you. We're believing God for victory in your life. Somebody needs to remind everybody watching online that they're not alone today. But some of you, you have just gotten out of the habit of coming to church. Getting out of church, not taking a shower, watching church in your PJs, going to the St. Mattress Church. Now listen, that was great during quarantine when we had no other choice. But that's not enough. Because you know what? The screen is never going to reach out and hug you or pray for you. Are you hearing me? We need each other. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Hebrews, we studied Hebrews earlier this year, and we found that they were very persecuted. They were in a difficult time. And the admonition was, don't stop meeting together. Some people are already stopping meeting together, but instead encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. So we know that Jesus is coming back. And so the Bible says the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more often we need to meet together. Amen, everybody? And so if we don't attend church, we tend to get discouraged because one of the major reasons we gather is encouragement. I'm preaching better than your amen. Because if we are separated from God or from God's people, we'll be just like Elijah. We'll get discouraged and we'll eventually give up. And so one of the reasons I come to church is because there's power when we worship together. There's power when we are together. Because I don't just come to church for me. I come to church for other people. Amen, everybody? And the result is encouragement. Matter of fact, attending an in-person church service is so important to many people in the world, they will risk their lives to go. In China, in parts of East Africa. I've told you the story of Northern Africa a few weeks ago. But those are just one part of the world where people will risk their lives to be part of an in-person service. Why? Because they know the value. That without it, we'll get discouraged. Without it, we can fall away. Amen, everybody? And so I just want to challenge everybody. If you are physically able and there is no physical reason for you not to be back in the building, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. Now, let me help you because I'm not sure everybody is aware of the steps that we're taking as a church to ensure everyone's safety. Everybody in the building already knows that, but we are taking dramatic steps every Sunday when people come in the building. And the way we sanitize everything and the way that we help people socially distance and all of that, I need somebody in the room to testify, somebody watching right now, that this church is doing a really good job taking care of people. But we also know that some of you are like, well, Pastor, the mask. Okay, so we came up with a plan. All right, here we go. We're going to add a service, okay? And we're going to call it the Super Safe Service. Now, every service is safe, but we're going to call this one Super Safe, which means we're going to take your temperature before you come in the building, every human, all right? And everybody's going to wear a mask the entire time, okay? Except when you're on the platform. It's kind of hard to preach with a mask on, okay? So we're going to start this beginning after Labor Day. So the Tuesday after Labor Day, we're going to add a Tuesday night service. You say, Pastor, we've never done a Tuesday night service before. I know. We've never had 2020 before either. Amen, everybody? And so you're like, hey, this is a great next step for some of you that haven't been in an in-person church service going on months and months and months. All right? So, amen. Now, the second thing that the people did in the book of Acts, the Bible says they went to church regularly, but then they also met in homes. We call that small groups. Small groups is not some program that somebody created in the modern church. It's as old as the book of Acts. It's God's plan from the very beginning because we all need to be in church services like this where we're worshiping together, we're hearing God's word, but we also need to sit in circles with other people who know our name, who we can share our struggles with, and we can grow together. Can I go ahead and tell you? You can't grow spiritually to the level that God wants you to by yourself. You actually need other people in your life to help you grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so our vision, our heart, our goal, our desire, my dream is that 100% of you are involved in a group this semester. And oh, by the way, our small group semester kicks off next Sunday. Now, the group link to choose which group that you can be part of goes live today at 1 o'clock. And it goes at info.graceassembly.org. If you're if you get our emails and our text, you'll get a link there as well. It's also going to be all on our social media. But we ask a few of our group leaders to encourage you a little bit about small groups. So watch this.
Hi, Grace family. Jason Newbold. I just wanted to share a moment with you on my experience in groups leadership and how it's impacted me and how it continues to impact me long after our small groups are done. Earlier this year, I decided to step out in faith and lead a group. I felt like it was my calling. I wanted to continue to grow myself in doing so, encourage others and pray with others and have that fellowship outside of, you know, Sunday service and Tuesday prayer and Wednesday night services. And so I would encourage you, if you're thinking about leading a group, then I would just pray about it and step out in faith and say, God, if this is what you're asking me to do, then let's do it. So as Pastor Wayne's prayer and vision for the church is that everybody is in a group, and to do so, we need a lot of group leaders. So I would encourage you to just step out in faith and say, let's do it. So take care and God bless.
Hi, my name is Patrick Poor, and I would like to invite all men over the age of 18 to join Fight Club. What is Fight Club? Fight Club was made by men for men. Fight Club will help you grow in four core areas: physical, mental, emotional, and most importantly, spiritual. Fight Club develops and helps you with your relationships. Fight Club will help you with your relationship with your children, your wife, your co-workers, your boss, but more importantly and most importantly with God. Fight Club changed my life. Fight Club changed my marriage. I challenge you, all the men above 18 years old at Grace Assembly of God, to join Fight Club. Fight Club is a way of life. Fight Club is a journey. Fight Club will change your life. Strength and honor.
Hi, Grace family. It's Kim. Hey, I was part of a small group last semester for the first time, actually in a couple of years. I got back into small group. I did a small group that was an online group, and it's the first time that I've ever done that. So I learned how to use Zoom and got pretty okay with it. The awesome thing about my small group was that it was for women only, and I absolutely adore the women that I small grouped with, some that I had never met before, some who did not go to Grace, and some that I've known for a long time and got to know much better. The group met online, and we were reading a book that was by a popular Christian author, and we got to walk through her struggles, and we got to walk and talk about our own struggles, and it was just a really cool opportunity to get to know other women and to research the passages that the author was making reference to that helped her through a difficult time. And we were able to just get real and talk about stuff that's pertinent to women, Christian women who are getting through every day, loving Jesus and doing the best that they can. And it was just really awesome to see these like-minded women come together and for us to just share our hearts in a group that was easy and convenient to meet because we were online. Thanks.
Say a big God bless you to all of our small group leaders. I think we got a picture. Come on, come on, come on. Man, we go to a good looking church. That's really good. All right, so what I'd like you to do some point today at 1 o'clock. All of the groups will go live, which means you can go to the link there, check out all the different groups that are available. Groups for men, groups for women, marriage groups, parenting groups, discipleship groups, Bible study groups, fellowship groups, all kinds of stuff, all right? Serve groups that are available. And by the way, it's not too late for you to lead a group. And so if you're interested in that, go to info.graceassembly.org. Would you do it, please? I'm asking. As your pastor, who has been given responsibility for your soul. It's heavy. It is heavy right now. I cannot do it by myself. We have a great team of pastors, and we cannot do it by ourselves. I need your help. A third of people, if the study is correct, a third are falling away right now. We can't let that happen. We can't let it happen. I need your help. Let's be the body of Christ, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. We need each other. I want to pray. I want to pray for anybody who's discouraged. There's just this heaviness. It's like your feet are in quicksand. Everything's hard. Maybe you feel like there's this cloud over you or over your life, and everything's just difficult. I want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit would bring light and life and purpose and courage into your life. If you're in the room and you say, Pastor, that's me. This message is for me. I needed to hear this today. I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Thank you. If you're watching online, wherever you're at, unless you're driving, don't stand up. But if you're in your room, or stand up. Just feeling the heaviness. Just feeling the discouragement. I'm waiting a few more minutes because I know there's a lot more of you than that. Those of you in the building, would you stretch your hand toward men and women? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray, God, that the heaviness will be replaced with the oil of joy. God, the worry, the anxiety, this thing that we feel, God, we know that we can't trust our feelings. So, God, we pray today that you would give us courage to trust you, to believe you, that you're with us and that we are not alone. Somebody needs to hear this. You are not alone. That God is with you, has not abandoned you. You have not done something so bad that somehow you have become a spiritual orphan. That is not true. That is from the devil. And God says he loves you. He gave his son for you. There is no greater love than any man has than that. You are loved. You are highly favored. You are blessed of the Lord because you are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Somebody needs to battle in the spirit right now for somebody who needs that cloud to go away. We plead the blood of Jesus on every home that is watching this right now. We plead the power of God to destroy the spirits of darkness that would try to steal and to kill and to destroy the people of God. We pray in the name of Jesus that your power, God, your strength, Lord, would come. And God, we pray that just like in Acts chapter 10, the heavens would be open over every home. And God, where there is cloudiness, God, let there be life. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Let there be a move of God. Let there be hope born in hearts. Hope born in a marriage right now that's about to give up. But God, because of your grace, because of the cross, we can try one more time. We can hold on one more day. Thank you, God, for bringing hope and birthing hope into the hearts and lives of your people. Give you praise, mighty God. Amen. You can be seated. And of course, the greatest message of all time is the gospel of Jesus. I think one of the reasons that people struggle, one, not always, but one reason that people struggle is because they're distant from God. They don't have a relationship with God. I love the fact that God is a God of community who has created us for community, because He didn't create robots, He created sons and daughters. He's a God of relationship. So God wants you to be part of His family, and He made a way through the gospel of Jesus. And if you don't understand the gospel, here it is. The just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear His wrath against sin on the cross and to show His power over sin in the resurrection, so that all, that's you, all who turn and trust in Him will be reconciled to God forever. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're far from God today, come back to Him. Come back to Him. Pray this prayer. Take that first step of repentance and confession of faith and pray this prayer out loud. Others are going to join us as we pray. Just pray it out loud. Say, "Dear God, I trust Jesus to save my soul. There is no way else. I put my faith and trust in the cross, in the resurrection of Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. From this day forward, I'm following You. I want to serve You. Holy Spirit, fill me now with all the power I need to do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen." Aren't you glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ today to change people's lives? Okay, can't golf clap for the gospel. Amen.